I hope you've had a great afternoon, and I appreciate the ways in which you have worshiped, how you have followed Ben's good direction. We're blessed so many ways. One of the great ways we're blessed is a number of really good song leaders, and we appreciate that so very much. As we emphasize worship, I want to share with you some things tonight about worship at the cross. And Billy read this passage at the foot of the cross, really. As we saw what was there, the people that were there, that's what I want us to think about a little bit tonight. As you look back at that passage, we have some opportunity to see lives and how lives work, how people respond. And I want to begin by looking at something that most every one of you have thought about, heard about, as we think about songs and songwriters. Fanny Crosby, just an amazing person. She lived for 95 years, and 94 of those years she lived blind. One of the amazing things about me is if I'm on my way to worship and I have a flat tire, my whole day is ruined. The worship opportunity seems to be ruined. I want to know, God, why are you doing this to me? I was trying to do something good. In fact, it might even be a time when I'm supposed to speak, and now I've got to scramble and get that tire fixed and get dirty and all of that. I've got to do something different than I meant to do, and it just wrecks my whole life because it wrecks my attitude. There are people that could have a flat on the way to church, and it'd be a great blessing to them. They have so many things going for them, it's unbelievable. Fanny Crosby was one of those people who just took the disability that we saw in her and refused to accept it as a disability. If you look at what this says, it seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for the dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. What an amazing statement to make, as she wrote so many great hymns. I've asked Ben to do second mile service tonight. I've asked him to lead number 359. I'd like for you to get a book. I don't think it will be on the screen. I'd like for you to get a book, and I'd like for you to think about this as a prayer. It's what she intended it to be. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I pointed out to you in that first slide, good things happen when we worship near the cross. If it's our aim to worship apart from what God has done for us in his life, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, it won't get done. We need to worship near the cross. And so I ask you to really think about worship near the cross as we sing this great song written by Fanny Crosby.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
daughter of James and John.
Oh,
this could be Roy up there, because I've told you before, I'm one of the most selfish people you know. It's hard not to think about me. It's hard not to think about what I want, how I want, and when I want. When I don't get it, I got to tell you, my feelings get hurt. And so this could be Roy. But it's hard for us to think about her in the presence of Jesus as we read this story in Matthew chapter 20, saying, listen, Jesus, I need a favor. Jesus said, what do you want? She said, I want this boy of mine to sit on your right and this boy of mine to sit on your left when you come into your kingdom. She didn't know what she was asking, Jesus told her. Her selfish thought about these guys being elevated to some great position was all out of whack, as we say, with what the reality of that position would be. When Jesus asked those boys, are you able to drink the cup of which I'm able to drink? I doubt if the mom still really understood when Jesus said, you'll have that opportunity. Here's a selfish person wanting her sons to have great position. At the crucifixion were also women looking on from a distance. Mark 15 and 40 talks about Salome. Near the cross, all the selfish thinking that we have will be corrected. We let it. So we think about worship at the cross. And then there stands Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some of you have watched your children suffer. Some of you have outlived your children. For one reason or another, your child was taken away from you, whether as an adult or as a young child. But to think about Mary, who was told as a virgin, you're going to bear a child, you're going to call his name Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sin. She heard all of those things. She went to the temple, and she saw Jesus teaching in the temple at age 12. And when we start thinking about that, it's an unthinkable thought to me to see this mom taking care of, nurturing, helping to rear physically the Son of God. Wow. When we start thinking about this came from God. Mary is at the beginning of the book of John. I thought this was an interesting thing. She's at the beginning of the book of John when we see Jesus at the wedding in Cana. And then we don't see her again all through the story of Jesus in John's gospel until the passage that Billy read a while ago. Then we take a look in Luke chapter 1, and we see Mary being talked to because the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And in that great story in chapter 2 of the book of Luke, as we read about Jesus growing, before it says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, it says Jesus was submissive to his parents after the temple scene. And Mary treasured up these things in her heart. Wow, what a treasure she must have had. Now, she's standing by the cross of Jesus, watching him die. No doubt she had seen him suffer many things, but nothing like he suffered at the end. And she was committed to his work from the very beginning. When you go back to John chapter 2, when we see her in that story of the wedding at Cana where water was turned to wine, she's the one who moved in that direction. And here's what Mary said, do whatever he tells you. Here's a mom who's committed to the life and the work of her son. Her son happened to be Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ. She was committed from the beginning telling people to do what Jesus told them to do all the way to the foot of the cross. You worship near the cross, and your life will be committed. If you pray, Jesus, keep me near the cross, and you meant it, and you take that prayer with you, you will be a committed person no matter what Roy Sharp does. No matter what anybody else around you does, worship near the cross will help you be committed. And then there's John, the disciple. John was with Peter and James on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a powerful, powerful place to be. To be able to see people come back from the dead. To be able to recognize perhaps the greatest prophet ever, perhaps the greatest leader and deliverer ever, until Jesus came. Those guys were so impressed, they said, Lord, should we build three tents, three tabernacles? And God intervened and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. You don't listen to Moses anymore. You don't listen to Elijah anymore. You listen to Jesus. That's what John heard. He was so close. The Bible described him as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Boy, there are a lot of statements like that that I've just thought, what a great blessing it would be if I could live such a life that that statement could be applied to me in the way that it was applied to John. What a great blessing. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John 21 and verse 24 is talking about John. John is going that second mile, doing what he needs to do. No wonder Jesus loved him. No wonder they had such a great and a close relationship. And when you read the accounts, John is the only disciple described as being near the cross. Wow, how would you like to be handed the responsibility of taking care of Mary, the mother of the Son of God? Woman, behold your son. They were close, no doubt. But now here's a tremendous responsibility being given to John. Son, behold your mother. I'm telling you, near the cross, your life will accept responsibility. You want your life to change? You want your commitment to change? You want your responsibility level to change? Worship near the cross. We're near to the cross. It's going to show us how we care for others. We're going to live a caring life, a life that is tremendously important to other people. It'll be filled with compassion toward other people. It's only going to be near the cross that you're going to find the purpose that you want. What are you going to do with your life? You're going to find that purpose near the cross. The cross gives us hope. There's no hope apart from the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. There is no hope without that. As you think about the cross, how near are you to the cross? Kippy Myers is always sending things to some of us faculty members to think about. Both of us teach values, and he sends me a lot. He sent a sweet note to Billy and me the other day. And he sent us Soren Kierkegaard's Metaphor of the Theater Regarding Worship, written a long time ago. Listen to his metaphor. He says, alas, in regard to spiritual, to things spiritual, the foolish of many is this, that they, in the secular sense, look upon the speaker as the actor and the listeners as theater goers who are to pass judgment upon the artist. But the speaker is not the actor, not in the remotest sense.
No, the speaker is the prompter. There are no mere theater goers present, for each listener will be looking into his own heart. The stage is eternity. The listener, if he is the true listener, and if he's not, he is at fault, stands before God during the talk. The prompter whispers to the actor what he is to say, but the actor's repetition of it is the main concern. It is the sole charm of the art. The speaker whispers a word to the listener, but the main concern is earnestness, that the listeners by themselves, with themselves, and to themselves in the silence before God may speak with the help of the address. The address is not given for the speaker's sake in order that men may praise or blame him. The listener's repetition of it is what he's aimed for. Are you listening? I want to repeat that sentence. The listener's repetition of it is what he's aimed for. If the speaker has that responsibility for what he whispers, then the listener has an equally great responsibility not to fall short in his task. In the theater, the play is staged before an audience who are called theater goers. But at the devotional address, God himself is present. In the most earnest sense, God is the critical theater goer who looks on to see how the lines are spoken and how they are listened to. Hence, here the customary audience is wanting. The speaker, then, is the prompter. The listener stands openly before God. The listener, if I may say so, is the actor who, in all truth, acts before God. You see, when we come in these doors to worship, we ought to come in desiring, expecting, and demanding of ourselves. I may be the sorriest preacher you've ever heard, but let me tell you, God still expects you to respond and to act, to draw near the cross, to draw near the cross. If you have spiritual diseases and spiritual problems in your life, God expects you to draw near the cross to be healed of those spiritual diseases. That's what God's desire is. You come to God, just like Mary Magdalene did. And your life will change if you do. Your sins will be released and forgiven and washed away, however you want to state it, as God states it. But it's your responsibility as a listener to respond. And God is looking to see that I speak his will. He's looking to see if when I do, you hear. And then when you hear, you respond. Many of you, in fact, most of you, have been born into the family of God. You don't need to do that again. Can't be born again. May need to repent of your sins and turn back to the Lord, but you are born into the family of God. Turn back if you need some spiritual problem removed. Turn back. God knows your heart. He knows whether you are listening or not. Some perhaps are. Some perhaps are not. God knows. And as we think about this song, if you need to draw near the cross in worship tonight to change your life, to change the level of commitment that you have to God, to change the level of responsibility that you are willing to take to God, and it takes a public response, that's our prayer. That's our hope. Don't pass the opportunity if you need to respond as we stand and as we sing.
Voice of